Hello, and welcome to the Modern Romantic Podcast, where we celebrate and inspire romanticism through passionate people doing incredible things. Hi, I am feeling incredibly magical with these lovely earrings that you may or may not be able to see right now, but either way, I feel magical. And I am joined by the host of today's show, Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi. I am being joined by the host of today's show, which is Trey. Hi, Trey.
Hi. And this is just going to go back in a loop forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. Emily, I'm really excited because this has been an interview almost 2 years in the making. Today's guest was one of our original guests. And I would really love for you to introduce our fantastic guest for this evening.
I'm going to fix that because that was doing a thing. Okay. Yes, I would love to introduce our fabulous guests today. I'm so excited to introduce Jasmine LaFleur and Carlos A. Williams Jr. from Black Fede to the show. Welcome.
Yay.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Greetings.
It's good to be back.
Yes, as always.
Yes. I think the last time we got to speak was at Midsummer's Night Dream, the reading.
Oh yeah, which
I have to say that was one of the favorite things that we've done so far, like having you on playing Titania and Oberon.
That was fabulous.
We had way too much fun.
That was fabulous. I enjoyed your performances immensely.
Yes. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Jasmine, you rolled with it in a way that I didn't expect, and it was divine. And Carlos, you're hilarious, and I loved that.
I do what I can.
We should do more improv kind of things here, like annually, maybe.
Yes, I'm for this.
Please.
And go.
No. Not right now.
Fork brain, no.
Hey, I was watching Martin Short yesterday, and I think I can do it. He's inspired me.
You gonna put your onesie on with the drawing on it?
Don't get me started. He's so funny.
I'm sorry, Trey, we totally interrupted you. What were you saying?
No, you did not.
Yeah,
and I love your earrings, by the way. Before we get crazy, they're the best.
Oh, thank you. I don't yet have my earlobes pierced, but I would like to. So for now, I just got to go with the over-the-ear earrings.
Yeah.
But I love them so much.
I'm going to need you to lean into the camera a little so I can see these.
Okay. They're the ones that I sent you before. They're
They're like cool, elven-y, fantasy, awesome, dangly, sparkly.
Yeah, Tree of Life. I wear them for our D&D sessions where I play a paladin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
A what paladin? Now,
a what? Oh, a dragonborn paladin.
Okay.
Oath of the Ancients and Protector of Lake Nature.
Oh,
protector
I
of
love
what?
That.
Protector of nature.
Okay.
What did you think I said?
Well, you said like nature, and I was like, did he say like?
Oh.
And I was protector of like nature.
Oh. Right, yeah. You know, like nature, like. Archer says, bring on smiting. I love smiting. Especially in a, anyway, we're about to go down a very large of like things. We're currently in a campaign right now against vampires, and smiting is effective against them, like very much so. So sorry, that is anytime we go up a vampire, I'm like, my turn. Yes.
You're almighty.
Have you two
almighty smiter?
Have you two played D&D?
I have like a few one shots, but never like a longer campaign. But that's going to change soon. I was invited to play a campaign that's fey themed with some friends. Yeah, and I'm really excited. We actually have our session zero in like 2 days, so I'm really excited. Yeah, but the problem is I have no idea what kind of character I want to play. I'm torn between maybe a barbarian or a bard. So I don't know.
Ooh.
Why not both?
You I know, I thought barbarian too. Barbarian. But then I was like, I don't know, because that seems kind of difficult to rage, but then like cast bless, you know, like what? It just seems so weird. And I'm like, I don't know how I would.
Like rage singing, it becomes metal.
Oh, that's cool.
You can be a bardbarian.
Bardbarian. Yeah. I like to tank when I play like MMOs, so I thought a barbarian would be fun.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I honestly, I would not have expected barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a very meatheady type of person when she plays stuff.
Yeah, give me the heavy weapons and armor.
Meanwhile, I play the stealth characters, the rogue, and I play crit heavy type of characters. Hence my little dagger up there.
Dragon's
dagger. Oh yeah, look at that. Ooh, that's cool. Yeah. It's kind of like a red blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really.
You grab it because I.
Is that created to be red, or is that from the blood of your enemies?
A little bit of both. Okay. Column A, column B. There's a dragon in the blade.
Nice. And
a dragon on the handle.
That is wicked looking. I definitely don't want to be on this end of it.
Yeah.
It's been dulled by the bones of my enemies, so.
Dulled. Okay. I see that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So melee is more your thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like I was playing Baldur's Gate 3, which has like been crazy fun. Mm-hmm. But my favorite character, I have a druid. Or changed to a paladin recently. And I think she has Oath of the Ancients too. But yeah, she's really cool. I turned Will into anyway, I can talk a whole lot about my campaigns, but I turned Will into a paladin and he ended up as an Oathbreaker because I smashed through things instead of like trying to converse with people. Uh-huh. So yeah, that ended up bad, but I think it suited him because he was a warlock before. So I'm like, you're all right. You'll live.
I'll tell you something funny. We were playing co-op. And again, my character has I tend to play stealth. And so my character, I went to go and I was sneaking through the room. And I went to go and open a chest. And I opened the chest. It was a mimic.
Oh.
But the mimic didn't detect me. It detected Jasmine and the rest of the party. And we were in a room that had a bed in it. So I went to go lay in the
he
bed.
He just laid in the bed. And I'm like, there's a mimic. And I'm freaking out.
Like, sounds like a you problem.
Yes. And so he's just laying on the bed. So I'm like, I'm trying not to like explode him. Because I know when I get scared, I want to throw everything and just blow up the whole area if I can so that everything that could be there to hurt me is gone. But he's laying on the bed behind the mimic that's attacking me. So I'm like, okay, I am very limited on the way I can get rid of this thing. But I got to do it fast. And I'm a scaredy cat too. So mimics make me scared the most. I don't know why they surprise me and like freak me out so bad, but yes, the mimics are the worst.
And Carlos being such a team player, laying in the bed.
I am. Yeah.
He also jumped down a hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's very chaotic. Go ahead.
I've played Larian Studio games before, like Divinity, Original Sin, and stuff like that. So I know that they load their games with a lot of stuff that allows you to think outside the box and do like weird crazy things. Like I'm one of those people that puts a bag in a bag to organize my stuff. Like, I talked to another friend there. I was like, it's not worth it. I'm like, it's worth it to me. I keep all my arrows in one bag, all of my bombs in another bag, all of my healing items in another bag, just because it makes it easier to actually keep track of that stuff. But
no, Archer, like, I have not. I'm playing three different characters right now, too. Yeah.
The question was, have you tried honor mode yet?
Yes. I'm not familiar with that. Jasmine plays more than I do. I started playing and then I kind of let her take over and have her campaign in playing it. But yeah, when we were playing co-op on hers, one of the first times we were down in a cave and I noticed that we had killed the spider or did an attack to push it back and it disappeared. And I was like, where is it? And I noticed there was like a hold, so I took the function on the game and put jump, and I went aimed to the hole thinking it wasn't gonna let me do it, but then it switched to a cutscene of me actually jumping into the hole, and it was a way to actually get to the Underdark.
He died though because he didn't
I hit the ground, and like the cutscene was showing my guy like tumbling and falling, like yelling, and then he just hit the ground and died. But then we reloaded and then did it again, casting Featherfall. And then it was kind of bugged out. Like, it was like, if we didn't do it like at a certain time, it would like still show like one person falling to the death. And then you couldn't get to them because the giant spider that we killed was there and you couldn't move it to get to the character to cast
your spell or respond. I remember I cast like a thunder wave and blew it off of like the ledge that it was on. I was like, oh, the spider's gone. I was like, but I need the loot. And so he jumped down to get the loot.
Yes, I jumped in the hole for the loot. That was my motivation. I felt the same way. Yes, for the loot. And I was like, I'm going to find something.
Yes.
Josh said, I may have done that exact thing. Should have used Featherfall. Yeah.
Good chaotic. To know we're not the only ones. Well, I'm not the only one, I guess.
Seth and I played it, and I played a ranger who was like a strength build. And so, but I named her Barbie. So you had like a ranger Barbie running everywhere. And anytime we had to lift anything heavy, it was like, what's your strength again? 18. Can you lift? Yes, I can lift this. And it would just like yeet to the other side. It was great.
I love Ranger Barbie already. She has the best accessories. I already know it.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And by the end of the game, she was wearing pink clothes. I will say that.
I love it.
That's great. I wish I had known about that. Does she
have any pets? I'm sorry?
Pets? Does she have any pets?
Yeah, of course she does. Of course. I took birds a lot because I had this like image of my head of the 90s Barbie films and like the early 2000s of her just like standing in the forest with all of these birds and animals coming up to her.
Yeah.
And then it just wound up staying as ravens for the entirety of the game. So everywhere we went, she just had birds, and then the birds learned to summon other birds. And so you had the whole murder of crows and ravens just following her everywhere. It was marvelous.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Complete with murder of crows. Yes.
Ranger Barbie with a murder of crows.
Mm-hmm. It's not daunting at all. No.
Nope.
Not at all.
Well, now that we've talked about our characters, Emily, what... I know that you play D&D. What characters are you currently playing or have you played?
I haven't in a while, but I played a paladin as well. I think it was a human paladin. Mm-hmm. It was either human or like human elf hybrid. We didn't dive real deep. We were playing with Ryan and we did a remote version.
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody was all over the place, and that was kind of cool. We found ways to make it work, and it was working well. And things happened. Some people in the group got girlfriends, and let's just say it took up their time. And so we haven't played since then, but it was fun. And I liked being able to kind of, because I haven't played much D&D. That was probably the most I've ever played. But I liked being able to kind of go, okay, I can be whatever I want in this character. So I'm going to, when I want to yell at people, I'm going to yell at people.
Yeah.
I'm a paladin. And you're not being very nice, sir. And I'm going to tell you. But there were a couple of really great plays I made. I just don't remember the specifics of what they were. I saved them all once, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's a hero. Yeah, that was fun. I liked being able to do that. So I can relate to Jasmine with the whole like tank thing. It's not my first instinct, but I liked being able to kind of just power in and to kind of take over and take care of what needed to happen. But there's not, I don't know. See, I guess I don't know enough about it to really make a lot more commentary than that. But it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to think I had a cool sword.
Ooh.
You can borrow mine if you need
Thank
to.
You. Oh, that's so nice of you.
So that kind of spurs me into thinking about like when you're coming up with your characters, since you've got your session zero coming up in a couple of days, what are some things that inspire you and Carlos when it comes to creating those characters?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think what I think of when I make a character is all the things I'm not allowed to do in real life. So sometimes that means being a big, strong, berserker kind of character that can smash things and rage and have a reason to and not get in trouble for doing it. They get praised and they crush things. So yeah, that's kind of how I build a character. It's like, what do I want to get into?
Yeah.
Like, if I could have all the mischief, what could I get away with in a game? So that's kind of how I build my characters.
I see
that. What about you, Carlos?
As far as my character build?
Yeah.
Jasmine always makes me feel like cliche for doing, but I mean, I'm pretty lawful aside from, you know, attacking mimics and stuff and then chilling out. But I mean, that's lawful. The mimic was, you know, it's a problem. And I left it to the heroes to handle it. You know, if it wasn't for me, they would have never discovered it. But yeah, so I tend to play, like, for example, like Mass Effect, I'm very much so Paragon leaning.
I was Renegade all the way.
Yeah, Jasmine is very much a bad person in games. She's definitely the one that's going around like jacking people up and like strong arming folks. I'm just like trying my best to avoid like conflict. As a matter of fact, I played on my Baldur's Gate character, I played the Dark Urge was my first character.
That was your because first I wanted, character?
Yeah, so I wanted to see, I was like, what's this about? And it's very interesting to see the dialogue options that I get. I did accidentally rip somebody's arm off because I like to... kind of like my normal everyday life. I have thoughts, however, I'm going to try to be nice.
You're and so
in the game, it was like, it was one point where it was like fantasize about like ripping his arm off or something like that. And I selected that option. And then it was like, you fantasize about this and think about how pleasurable it would be to rend this person asunder. And then you realize that this was no fantasy as you look at the arm laying on the ground in front of you. I was like, oh, okay. So you really got to pick and choose your spots when you lean into the Dark Urge. Cause there had been other times where it was kind of like that, where it was like, somebody's like being annoying or mean, but it's like, I'm gonna think about crushing your skull, but I'm not gonna do it. But I'm gonna think about it. But then that kind of gave me the wake up call, like, oh, some of this stuff, if I just think about it, I might lose what I don't know if they did a check for it or if it was just that dialogue option. But yeah, really yanked their arm off.
Seth played like the first 40 or so minutes, and I think he ran into a situation where that happened, and he just went, nope, restart. we're not playing that.
Josh said Mass Effect 2. Ooh, man, you guys are definitely my people.
Yeah, Mass Effect is definitely my favorite video game series. The second one's my favorite. The first time I played it all the way through, like 1 through 3, it was a Renegade, naturally. A Renegade run. I was very satisfied with my ending. I think I got everything I deserved. And the second time I played, I tried really, really hard to do a Paragon run perfectly, but that didn't happen. But I still had a very interesting ending. And then finally, third time's a charm, I got the Paragon right. Yeah. So I played through it 3 times. I probably would do it a million times if I had the time, but I love Mass Effect.
Yeah, not trying to linger too long on video games, but yeah, for me, Mass Effect 3 was one of my favorites, and which seems like a unpopular sentiment at this point, but I love the multiplayer games on there, like the multiplayer, especially because once I got my build right and my weapons that I wanted, I could pretty much solo. I was always like MVP of the match. Like I was going around and picking people up and saving teammates and stuff, mostly so that it'd be more cannon fodder, because a lot of times people weren't as good as me because, you know, I've got the elite skills and whatnot. Yeah, no. Top gamer.
Yeah, Jeff said on gold running a Vanguard, I'd clean house. We need to talk though, because Mass Effect 3 multiplayer is the one version of Mass Effect that I have played. And I didn't know much about it other than Josh talking about it a lot, because that was like his favorite game of all time. I don't know who Commander Shepard is, but I know that we have a mug with some kind of saying that Commander Shepard says in, this is the best something something of the Citadel.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite mug in the Citadel.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. And
I love it.
So, but I did come to like the multiplayer aspect of that, and I found, and I can't remember what type of character I played, but it was like a tank with a sniper rifle, and it was an odd combo. But I made it work, and I had fun, and that was the point. So we need to talk sometime, because maybe we can hook up and play that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I'll have to get back into it. It was like the original release that I played, and I haven't played it since I've got the collection.
He found my Renegade.
Oh. Something, I'm sorry, something happened to everybody's video, just suddenly went off.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. It's a good thing. As long as it wasn't us.
It was my Renegade-ness that happened, but I was showing my Renegade pin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
we got that from RTX, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The last RTX.
That's sad. Yes. Rooster Teeth convention that they had last year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
So, I mean, while we're on video games, I want to take it more from like a storytelling aspect. What are, when you go to play a video game, from a storytelling aspect, what keeps you hooked? What keeps you going back and going, I want more of this?
I think it's the immersion for me. Like in Dragon Age and Baldur's Gate, Mass Effect, those are like my favorites. I was able to like create whoever I wanted to, and you know, I'm the hero, you know, I get to be Shepard. And I think being immersed and really like accepting that universe around me as like, this is my playground, this is my sandbox, Whatever happens is my fate. I really love that kind of storytelling. And I don't know, I feel like it's more satisfying than other types of games for me. And that's probably why I love fantasy so much, because I do the same with fantasy books. I really love going to other worlds that look nothing like, you know, the worlds that we live in, and see the decisions that they have to make, each character. So as far removed as I can be from normal life, makes me really invested and want to play.
Yeah, same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, for me, aside from story, it's being able to make a build, like, you know, and not like one of those like tedious, like headache giving builds. But for me, it's like being able to find like some nice loot and equipment to put together in a way that is gonna make me happy about how I'm running and how I'm playing the game and stuff like that. I'm very much so, regardless of if it's a like loot heavy game or if it's just a game where you can find certain equipment that's gonna make the game a fun experience to play through, or a satisfying experience to play through. That's me. Like, I've brought Jasmine into the Diablo world and we've been playing Diablo 3. Heard some mixed reviews about 4, so I've been kind of hesitant about getting that, but I love 3, so we've been kind of introducing her into that world by building her a couple of characters and power leveling, because I've got like my OP characters that I play on Torment double digits with, and yeah, and we'll solo. And that comes from those builds, because I get so many, like, as a matter of fact, the other night, I was just kind of playing by myself, and then I went and figured out a couple of set pieces that went together. I was like, okay, I'll put this set together, and then I'll get 2 of this other set. And then I took a ring that reduced the number of pieces that I need to get a set bonus on there, and like did put all that together. And like, when I put this one piece in, it like exponentially increased like my attack power, my HP, and I like my jaw just dropped. I was like, okay, yeah, that's kind of what I thought was gonna happen. But you know, I'm not the type of person that'll go and like look up a guide on like how I should build my character and stuff. It's more satisfying to discover a way that makes a character strong and amazing, and then go from there looking for the next step up to increase them.
I agree. Yeah, I don't like watching hours of YouTube videos and game guides to try to figure things out. If it's not in the game, I kind of don't want to. Not that I won't look something up quick, but yeah, I'm with you there. I want to discover it too.
On the loot perspective, Jasmine, I feel like you need to start hiding all of his gifts inside of like chests and things that he has to like figure a way into.
Yeah.
I looked over at a little tiny chest that we have on.
We have so many baubles and things.
Again, when you say the things that Jasmine loves, we
careful,
have
it
so
might
much.
Be a mimic.
It might be a mimic, and he would sit here on the couch and watch me have to like get things. It has a business really cool credit card in it, and and little like trinkets, like this is just cute glitter in a little bottle we got from a fairy. So yeah, there's that. Little crystals. This was a labradorite, but yeah, hides the good stuff.
Not a mimic.
Not a mimic, not a mimic this time. Not this time. But yes, I should hide things and allow him to build his gift. That'd be fun.
So you guys have some exciting. It's an exciting season for you.
Yes, it is finally almost officially spring. Yes, we had daylight savings. Spring's my favorite season, but it's almost Fae Day time as well, so it's exciting. Black Fae Day is the second Saturday of May, for people that don't know yet, and the whole point is just to celebrate and represent Black fantasy enthusiasts, mm-hmm. and we want to have more visibility, but also just celebrate that we're geeky kids that like fantasy. So we take pictures, we have meetups, people cosplay and write and sing and dance, do all kinds of fun things on the holiday every year. And this year, the theme, because I make a theme every year just to give people a starting point, just in case they don't know how to participate. The first year, it was land versus sea, so we had knights and mermaids and things like that. The second year, we did royals, and this year will be a family reunion. Yes. So I wanted to recreate the feeling of the first Black Fae Day, where it just felt very communal. People were visiting, and it was fresh off of the pandemic, so everyone really was excited to be able to see each other in person and to collectively get together and do things. So I'm hoping that people use this opportunity to reach out to others and make friends and, you know, just be kind to one another to share the holiday. So yes, that's the hope.
Yeah. So that's May 11th. Is
May 11th this year. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Where's the main celebration going to be happening this year?
Well, that's just it. I'm not hosting a big celebration. I know last year I did the big party, the Fairy Tale Gala Royals in the castle. And the year before that in Atlanta, we did Land versus Sea at Chalet Gardens.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to turn on the live?
But yeah, go ahead. But this year, I know there are a lot of friends that host different events, and there are a lot of people who felt like left out because they couldn't travel and join us last year. So I thought, hey, if you're hosting or you want to start an event and have your neighborhood support you, just let me know. And I'll use my platform to kind of highlight where all these events are going to be happening. So
awesome.
You'll see me roll out starting this month different posts about who's celebrating. I know one that I've already posted is the Villains Ball, and that's going to be in DC. It's by Plus Ultra Entertainment, and they've got cosplay. They've got a VIP room that's Drolta themed off of Castlevania Nocturne. And we'll be doing a wing giveaway. Yeah, a custom wing set by Creatures Who Craft.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Tatiana.
Yes, Tatiana designed these beautiful, like, villainous wings that are spooky, but just gorgeous because she's so talented. So that's an exclusive that's going to be given away at that event, but also exclusively sold on her site. So I wanted to collaborate as well with as many Black creators in the fantasy industry that I could. So, you know, like wing makers and photographers and makeup artists, cosplayers, event planners, just so that I can help introduce those artists to the world using my platform. And it's such a fun thing to share and see one another's talents that I'm always happy to introduce everyone to one another. Yeah.
That's great. And it gives people a lot of options for events to attend and to get the word out for those who maybe would have a tough time getting the word out or to market their own event. That's always kind of a big deal to have to market your own event. It really is.
Keeping the mission going.
Yeah. I remember how hard it was myself just like trying to figure that all out. And so I figured, you know, they're doing the bulk of the work. I can at least help let people know what they're doing. So I'm really excited about it. There's so far I have there's some people there like, I don't know, I think they're getting nervous because it's like becoming real. But so far, of all the applicants, I had 17 that were selected across 13 different states.
Nice.
That's really cool. And a couple of events in the UK. So there's awesome. Going to be a lot going on. Yeah, I'm so excited. I know like Vermont is there. Let's see. California, DMV, Ohio, Texas. There's lots of different places. So from coast to coast, there'll be an options for people to go visit and celebrate together. So I'm really excited. But also, there's always the option to just do your own thing at home. And it's just as special and wonderful. So if you want to have a picnic at home with all your friends and family, do it. I know one little boy, for the last 2 years, he's had a fantasy themed birthday party because his birthday falls around the holiday. And grandpa and grandma and mom and dad, the whole family was dressed up as fantasy characters.
So cool.
It was really sweet. Yeah. Last year, I left him a video message, you know, wishing him a happy birthday. And he was like, I want to be a dragon this year. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let's be a dragon. So, yeah, the whole family can participate, which is why it's the family reunion. Yes, yeah. It's intergenerational.
I love it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. No, sorry. I'm not. We always do this.
No, you go.
No, you go. It is so cool to have watched this from my perspective, because every year, and even when it's not like the Black Fae Day, it is so cool to watch how much you are promoting people and how much others are enjoying this. This like inclusion and opportunity to be seen. But I'm curious what it means for you, because this is now what, year three? So what does it mean to you to have this experience and look back on how far it's come?
You want to answer first?
this is your thing, like. I help, but this is you.
It's a good question, and it's hard to put in words, honestly. I get a little emotional thinking about it, because it's a I know, every time no, don't make me think about it. I'm sucking the tears
right
back.
There
but I've seen the ripple effects of like what it's done for people, and I've heard messages of like, hey, we met at the Fairy Tale Gala and now we're business partners and doing fantasy hair salon and massage parlor. I don't know. These are happening where people are creating magical things all over. And it was kind of sparked by this holiday that just came out of, you know, my imagination. It's very humbling to be a steward to that kind of experience and genuine connections, things like that. But I've also seen people feel more encouraged to, you know, step out and do the things that they love, or write a book, or paint, and discover even talents that they didn't know they were allowed to explore. People going to Ren Fairs for the first time and messaging me saying, oh my gosh, that was great. I can't wait till next year. Just seeing, just knowing that those people would take time just to even acknowledge like, hey, Jasmine, I'm doing this because I was inspired by what you're doing. It really means a lot to me. And I think that's why I go so hard about like curating the Black Fae Day page, is because there's so much magic and beauty and wonderful things that are always happening. And I am the biggest cheerleader and geeking out about all of it. But I'm very glad that I get to share that with so many people, and it's growing. And it is very daunting sometimes when someone brings something to my attention and they say, hey, this is happening. You should talk about it. Because I realize my voice is starting to carry and has influence. So that can be kind of scary. But I always know my heart's in the right place. So I speak up or I help make it whatever it is known to my community when I can. So yeah, that's a hard thing to sum up, like how things have changed for me in the last 3 years. I've had to learn a lot about being social in 3 years. But I think I'm getting stronger and braver as the time goes by. And because of that, I'm able to be the best servant to my community. Yeah.
There is, from my point of view, which is little, but in my point of view, from my point of view.
It's big to me.
Okay. Thank you. But from my point of view, there is no greater steward for what you are doing. You are the perfect person for this. Mm-hmm. Your heart and your vision and how you see it and how you handle it has been really like the way it should be. It's really kind of, at least from this perspective, rather ideal. It's probably not ideal to everyone, but just kind of who you are was like, you're the right person.
Thank you. That's very sweet. Thanks.
Well, I mean it.
Don't give me the eyes like, yeah. He gave me like the damn right look.
As you should.
Carlos is right.
Fighting from saying I told you so.
Yes.
She shared a post the other day talking about how much she sees my face fighting the urge to say I told you so daily.
Well, you know, it's different because it's like, oh, he has love goggles on, you know, because like, we're together. So not that it's less, you know, impactful or like, it's not that I don't accept it. Yeah. It's just that I'm like, oh, well, he loves me. So of course he's going to say these nice things, you know.
You know, that has nothing to do with it.
I'm
very pragmatic.
Yes, you are.
My love goggles have no lenses. It's just for looks.
Okay, Oberon.
Yeah.
Well said. That's hilarious. But it is hard, right? When you have a friend or a loved one or somebody close to you compliment you, you go, oh no, you're just being my friend. Like, you're supposed to support me. You're supposed to say those things. And so it's easy to dismiss. It's easier to dismiss them. It's easier to, and dismissal is probably the wrong word, but it's easier to like not believe it the same way. So, but I want you to know, yeah. I do truly believe that. And,
thank you.
Yeah. I think, everything I said was accurate. I'm standing by it. I said what I said.
You said what you said. I did.
The paladin has spoken.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that divine word.
You're welcome. Anytime. And if you're ever questioning it, let me know. And I will borrow Carlos's sword. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm just
That's
kidding.
Serious business.
I'll like pound it on the table or something.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I have a party, you know. I have a paladin, I have the rogue, and another paladin. So yes, it helps encourage me and keep me fighting.
Yeah, and it hasn't been easy. You've had some rough spots, but
yeah, it's a learning experience. Yeah.
I love to see that you're still here.
Thank you. I am still fighting the fight.
Yes. And I'm proud of you for continuing to maintain your positivity throughout those rough spots. Because it's definitely easy to not, especially with me and your air, like
throwing the bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see that you still have your same light.
He protects it. He's good at that.
Yeah, she has to tell me sometimes. You can't say that to people. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
I got a problem. I'm going to make it a problem. And let's perpetuate this problem. And she's like, no. It's positivity. I'm like,
Oh, goodness. But, oh, yeah. There's more.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. With Emily's encouragement and help, she even, like, gave me, like, a pep talk. A one-on-one pep talk and was like, yeah, you can do this. Here's some tips. And it was wonderful, and I will always appreciate it. I have my little handy notebook with me all the time with notes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do this. Emily said.
I did say. Emily said.
Yes.
That's so funny.
But I told her I wanted to maybe do a podcast, and have been thinking about it for a while. And so after that meeting, I felt like I got the push I needed to just try it out.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. So it's called Fabies and Friends. I have the first episode. It's out. It had a little hiccup. There's some audio imperfections that still drive me crazy, but it's out.
It's out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was told many times, finished is better than perfect.
That's right.
I just put it out there. So I hope you'll listen. But the first episode features one of the writers from Castlevania Nocturne's third episode. And her name is Zadwa Nioni. And I loved hearing her perspective of how she wrote the for the character Annette and some of the other elements in the show that were very exciting to see from a Black perspective, because you don't often see Black fantasy, and especially not drawn from cultures that we know exist and are ours. So we talked a lot about that, and I hope you'll get to hear it. It was a lot of fun. Thank you. Sandra said, I love the name of your podcast. Yes, Babies and Friends. Because I wanted to have candid conversations with magical people. And that could be anybody. And so, yeah, that's the inspiration behind the name.
Yeah. In that episode, I did feel it was good to hear the writer's motivations and how they lined up with our identity as well. I know me personally, it definitely resonated with me as a Black person with explaining some of the things that we go through and deal with. Mm-hmm. When, you know, just with our identity and our history and our, you know, the things that, you know, or sometimes on a daily basis that other people might not have to think about or carry with them, and how that went into developing the character and how that came across. And, you know, we might have saw it and thought like, oh, that's like so deep and soulful. And I can feel what this person, like what this character is feeling or thinking in this moment. And then to have them come out and say, yeah, this is what I was putting into this person, and this is where this comes from. It's like, you know, it's that representation that we talk about and that we like fight and push for. And
yeah, it was great to hear. Not only did she put in like elements of her own culture and experiences, she's Zimbabwean, so she had different references of like what folk songs meant to her and things like that that were included in the story. But they also teamed up with researchers from different communities in the diaspora to make it even more authentic due to like the geographic area that this character was coming from. So it felt good to know that there was even more steps, like an education that was taken to define it and make it more believable and exciting and relatable. So I hope you'll listen. My second episode comes out at the end of the month. maybe sooner. I'm almost done editing. But yes, it'll be this month. And I've interviewed Annalise Sabrana. She just released her debut novel, and it's called Of the Wilds.
I've been there. Don't worry. If you need to look it up, go look
Lore,
it up.
Lore of the Wilds is the title of the book. Lore of the Wilds by Annalise Sabrana. Yes, and we got to talk one-on-one. I didn't have my co-host with me. Also, yes, I have a co-host. Her name is Leticia, and she is the host of Intersectional Podcast, which is one that is about intersectional fiction. Wait, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. And she's great. So, yes, she's in the first episode with me, but won't be in this episode because our schedules didn't line up. But Annalise was available, and so I took the interview. I was like, I can do this. So it's really, it would be very special if you did listen to that episode because I was very nervous interviewing by myself. Yes.
Yes, Lore of the Wilds by Annalise Sabrana.
Yes, yeah, she's great. She talks about her journey as a writer who started trying to publish traditionally, went into self-publishing, and through that self-publishing journey, an actual publisher picked up the book. It was like, hey, I love this. She's like, okay, like,
that's awesome.
All right. So it's such an inspiring and amazing story about her tenacity and resilience in making this book. But then the book itself is fire. So yeah, you got to pick it up.
I love that it's kind of interesting that your second episode, you ended up having to do by yourself. Like, even Trey and I didn't have to do one alone until, I don't know, several episodes in.
Yeah.
And even then, I remember, though, the first one, now that I think about it, because it was the one Julie was going to step in for you, and then her connection somehow timed out, and so I ended up doing it alone anyway.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was the Mark and Elva Rhinus episode. But yeah, so I can totally relate to how that feels, especially. Well, I mean, hopefully you were expecting it.
Yeah, because what happened was her book, she was trying to get the last pre-sales out because it was getting ready to release at that point when I got contact, in like 3 days, it was getting ready to release. And she's like, oh, I'm almost at my goal. Is there any way, you know, you can help push for those last orders? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So, you know, I made some posts, and then I was finally like, wait, can I interview you? Maybe that'll help for later. I was like, well, we probably won't be able to meet before the book comes out, but, you know, later to help get some readers and maybe some reviews, they'll hear our podcast. And so she agreed and had an open space like a couple of days later. It was like, I have this date available if you have the time. And I'm like, okay, we're gonna make it work. So it was really fast. I still think it was a pretty strong interview, so I hope that it comes off as well as I hope, if that makes sense.
I'm sure it does.
It was fast and furious, but we made it work.
Yeah, Jasmine's excitement after the interview. Well, behind the scenes, that's just like, yeah!
We do the same thing.
Like, I did it!
Yeah, we totally do the same thing.
Because what I found is, like, during the interview, I feel like if you're in a different zone, like, something else takes over, and you're going through the conversation, and it feels good, and, you know, you get to a group where everything feels natural, and it flows right, and then it's over, and you come back to yourself, like, normal you, and you're like, what just happened? So yeah, I freaked out a little bit, but then I was like, but I did it. So I was really excited.
We have,
and thank you the person that says the truth that we found. Look lovely.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very nice. It is super relatable. And I don't know if we talked about this, but Trey and I have had kind of our bucket list people that we've wanted to, like, our ultimate, you know, who do you want to,
yeah,
who do you want to talk to? Who would you want to have this conversation with? And we've been very lucky. And so I won't reveal anything, but, oh, one other comment was, I can totally hear Jasmine and Carlos doing voiceovers together. Great speaking voices. A story time with Jasmine and Carlos.
Oh, I do story time daily.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, I actually work at my public libraries doing story times for early childhood children and school age children. So that's my job, to read stories and tell lots of stories with kids.
Yeah, I had considered doing like readings and stuff like that. But I, from my understanding, there's like funky and weird policies about like enforcement of like copyright when it comes to reading other people's writing and stuff like that. It's like a weird gray area that, like, you know, you might post something and they might be able to claim like the video or the content or stuff like that. So I really didn't push too much more into getting into that, but it's something that I wouldn't mind doing.
Maybe you can apply to do audiobooks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for the compliment.
Maybe I can do you guys' intro so you don't have to fuss about it in the beginning anymore.
Like,
welcome to the Modern Romantic Podcast.
Oh. Yeah,
please do that. Yeah. Yes. That would be so fun. I would even send you a bag of sweetheart hearts for Valentine's Day.
Well, look, that's what Jasmine likes.
Oh, like, what do you like then?
I get a big bucket of Laffy Taffy, maybe.
Okay.
Some of those Starburst jelly beans you're telling us to keep away from.
Starburst and sweetheart.
Oh yeah, not sponsored.
But if a sponsor wants to send us a huge bag of Laffy Taffy and Starburst,
we'd be open to that too.
Yes. You can coordinate that through our email. Please sponsor us. We love you at themodrom.com, which is a real email.
That is
a real email.
We did it kind of as a joke, and we thought maybe someone one day will email us there, and we have yet to receive one email to that address. Someone out there is just going to email it to be funny now, but no one has, and that's okay.
No. I feel like I need to reach out to a bunch of sponsors and just give them that email address and just see what hits.
Yes. Oh,
they saw the jelly beans.
They thought they were doing it for a bit, and now they're now they can fill a bathtub of jelly beans.
Yeah, that's kind of my guerrilla marketing tactics that came in line to kind of give Black Friday its original visibility. I was just everywhere with like sharing Jasmine's ideas and stuff like that, to the point now where a lot of the groups and stuff that I'm in, they probably won't approve a post if I make a post about Black Friday, because it was like, it's this dude again. We know who you are. We know who you are now.
Jasmine, I do want to ask, who, if you are willing to share, who is somebody on your list of people that you're like, if I could talk to this person, I would just fall on the floor, just like,
and then we'll see if we can get them on the show.
At the very tippity top, though, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
At the super, super top. Yeah. Well, because he does all the cool stuff I want to do. Like, he's a Jedi. He's like fighting snakes on planes. Yeah. He does some cool stuff.
He's a Jedi. And then the second one you list is that he's fighting snakes on planes.
Well, the last time I saw him on screen, he was literally herding kittens that were swallowing people. So, I mean, that looked fun too, because the kittens were really cute when they weren't swallowing people. But yeah, he gets to do fun stuff.
What is that he was doing that with kittens?
No spoilers.
Oh, I can't tell you what movie? Oh, it was the Marvels. You have to see the Marvels and see what that's all about.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there is, he gets to herd kittens. And like, they even have a behind the scenes special where you actually get to see them trying to herd kittens on set. And it's hilarious.
Mm. No, I want to see that.
Yeah.
How about you, Carlos? Who's somebody you would like to see on? On the podcast, or I don't know. Do you have this, like, I have this agreement with, like, I probably shouldn't even say this.
Say it.
Like, yes. With Josh, it was like, okay, we had Ming Tsai on the show, and it was like, well, of course we have to bring Josh on because that's like one of his heroes. Mm-hmm. So how could we not do that? So I was wondering if you have a similar thing, like if Carlos has like this ultimate number one person he would want on your podcast, would you let him be there for that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't like people like that, so it's hard.
I don't like people.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of pull people out of that bubble of, like, you know, if I see somebody who I appreciate in their content and stuff, then it's just kind of, I appreciate them in that content and in that context.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to think about that. You know, I'm very much so a comedian heavy person, so there's lots of comedians and stuff that I've you know, that I listen to and watch, and maybe Josh Johnson.
Oh yeah, yeah. He seems sweet too. I think he'd answer the call.
Yeah, Josh Johnson is pretty cool, and I wouldn't mind like doing an interview with him. He's like nerdy, and he's not self-deprecating, but he's just kind of self-aware in his comedy, and it's very, you know, a lot of it feels very personal, and he has so much like different content. Like, he posts stuff on his like channels and stuff all the time, and it's just like, you know, there's some comedians that have their set and they do it, but Josh is just like every couple of days he's got 15 minutes or so of just an entirely new set, just talking about like his take on current events and stuff. He needs to be on The Daily Show.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, he'd be a good candidate. Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah. And then once you get them, I think Emily and I can say this from experience, we kind of go, okay, we've now talked to our heroes. Who's the next one?
Right. Who would be the next? Huh.
And that's the thing, is that once you get them on your show, you can get to say, oh my gosh, who do we get next? And then it becomes an ever evolving thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy. I think if I got Sam, that'd be all right. And that's a wrap. Thank you for my heart can't take anymore. Yeah, I'd retire.
Imagine the dance you'd do after that interview.
Oh man, right to the pearly gates. I'd be done. Retired from life. Like, I did it. I did my assignment. I'm good. Next life.
We have It's Just Shayna saying, hey, Fabies.
Hey, Faby. Shayna's my day one Shayna. Faby.
Yes, our first Black Friday celebration was hosted by Shayna.
Yeah, she hosted. It was great.
Hey, Shayna.
Thanks for joining us. So it was, oh, sorry, Trey, go.
No, go ahead.
No, please.
Nope.
Dang it. This is what happens. Back to what I was going to bring up with you were talking about the dance after. You didn't say the word dance. I said the word dance. Yes. After you're like, you do an interview, that energy you have, And how we could relate. I was going to ask Trey, because we live in two separate states. We don't see each other after the show. Like, we say, usually we're like, okay, have a good one. We'll chat soon. Bye. Click, you know. So yeah. Afterward, we're not, there's just a few where we've stayed later and chatted, or we stayed later and, like had a conversation or did like a energy dance because we, but Trey, I want to know what you did after the Zachary James interview.
might have to believe that.
fell on the floor and was talking to Seth just how amazing that was. I think it really hit me the day after, and I woke up the next morning and I was like, oh yeah, and I talked to Zachary James yesterday. Holy, I talked to Zachary James yesterday. it was such a surreal experience because now Zachary James is on the West End playing Hades in Hadestown. And it was just so wild and bizarre. And I think it gave me a lot more confidence after that. I just say, like, I got to talk to my hero. He said nice things to us. I feel good. So I walked a little bit taller that next day, I will admit.
I love that.
How did you... actually, I'll ask Josh, since he's in our comments. How did you feel after talking to Ming Tsai? What did you do?
I was here for that, too. But I'll let him explain it. He's so chill. But I'll let him do that. But so you're on this cool journey with your podcast where you get to reach out to people you want to chat with and people you want to interact with and ask those questions and also expose to your world. And I think that's fabulous. I think you're going to hear some really, really amazing things, and you have such a cool future with this, and I'm really excited for you.
Thank you. I think the biggest problem I had is that I'm so used to like people telling me no that I am sent a lot of feelers out where I was just like, hey, would you be interested in like being part of this podcast? Will you let me interview? And most of the people I contacted say yes. So now I have this problem where I have to schedule everyone. But I was not expecting that. I overshot by quite a bit. and a lot of people say yes. So I have to do that. And yeah. That's a new issue.
It's time consuming.
It is. Yeah, it is. And organizing, trying to coordinate Black Fridays, social media campaigns ahead of events. Doing the podcast, scheduling everyone. It's been a new kind of juggling act that I'm not used to yet, but it's exciting. It's because I'm doing things that I'm excited about, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Nothing. I was just kind of thinking of it in random thought here, but it was when I was talking about playing Baldur's Gate and me selecting the Dark Urge character. It's kind of funny because when I said that I don't like people, because I'm like, I don't like people, but I'm the Black Fade Director of Community Relations. So I'm the one who talks to all the people. So that's kind of me embodying the Dark Urge again. Like, I don't like you, but how can I help you? What? How can I help you, assist you in resolving your problem? Like, yeah.
Thank you for resisting the dark urge.
Well, I think you also seem to see people as people. You're maybe not starstruck by somebody, but because you see them all as humans, not as like,
yeah.
Anything greater than that.
Yeah, I don't think I have anybody that like comes to mind. Like maybe Stevie Wonder. He was like a childhood you know, he's one of the people that, like, when you're asked to be what you want to be when you grow up, and before you have that consciousness or awareness as a child that there somebody's talking about like a vocation, I was like, I want to be Stevie Wonder.
You want to be him.
Yeah, I want to be, and when I grow up, I want to be Stevie Wonder. Like, yeah.
Do you sing?
I do not. I mean, I do, but...
He sings very boisterously and enthusiastically. He loves karaoke. We went and did karaoke. It was fun. A couple times.
Yeah.
We will not put you on the spot like some people do to me.
Yeah, some of my best belted out lyrics during karaoke were from the window to the wall. it's a little ditty from back in the day. You know, just, you may know it.
Just a little ditty.
Attracted a few people to the booth to come see what was going on.
Yes. Go ahead.
What was he says that he has like a power ballad. Every guy has a power ballad. Remember you were talking about that one. You have one song where you're like, "This is my song."
The man jam.
Yeah, your man jam.
Yeah, it's from Tom Joyner. He would say every man has a song that's his man jam, which is like a woman song, but you sing it at like the top of your lungs. When it comes on, and for me, I think it's Listen by Beyonce.
Listen from Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Beyonce. No, that was Beyonce, right?
Yeah.
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 Well, now I want to know what yours is, Trey.
What's your man jam?
What is my man jam?
I want Archer to think of his too.
Is it a VeggieTales song?
Yeah, Josh.
Oh, where is my hairbrush?
That doesn't count. It's actually the metal version of the We Are the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything.
Yes. That's a good one.
I'm actually going to have to think about that. I typically don't do many pop songs. When I go to karaoke, I do mostly like Broadway. The last time I did one, so I'll use this for now. I did Don't Lose Your Head from Six the Musical. It's like Six Wives of King Henry VIII, and the Don't Lose Your Head is the one sung by Anne Boleyn. Ooh. And it's this almost mix between, how would I put it? It's a mix between like Avril Lavigne, early pop Avril Lavigne, and then Britney Spears a little bit. So Ooh. It's got that rock edge to it. And it's a lot of tongue-in-cheek references to the character of the historical figure Anne Boleyn, mixed with just some like very tongue-in-cheek UK phrases.
That sounds fun.
It is.
Josh said Wicked Ways from Hellstorm.
Yes. Yeah. And Shana said, "You're his cheeseburger." Look, if we get into VeggieTales songs, I know the whole catalog. So,
for those who have just tuned in, we are discussing the idea that every man has a man jam, and so we're asking the men around here what their man jam is, and somehow I'll take the blame. VeggieTales came up.
Jasmine, now we're gonna flip the tables, and I have to ask you, what is your jam when you go to karaoke?
I like A Slow Motion by Juvenile.
Okay.
And what else? I do like new metal, what is this? Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, she been here sometime with my little Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
Whamming it up in here. I hear her bouncing around the house.
I gotta get it out.
The barbarian comes out.
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible. So the one thing I have to ask you, kind of going back to the podcast for just a second, is what's something that you have realized now that you've gotten a couple episodes in, compared to when you first started?
I realized that I actually ask great questions. I think questions that people would love to know the answers to. So I've discovered that. And I've also discovered that I can hold a conversation when I'm leading. Because I was mostly terrified of that. I was like, is there going to be a lot of dead air? Am I just going to be sitting there like, I don't know, say something? I didn't know if that was going to happen. Because I, like, even in person, I'm very awkward. I don't know where conversations start and end a lot of times. So I didn't want that to translate to my podcast hosting. So I'm glad that it's going well and the conversation flows organically, I guess. It doesn't sound like I'm a robot.
Not at all.
No. So what advice, since Emily gave some advice to you, let's pay it forward. If someone came to you and said, Jasmine, I want to start a podcast, what advice would you give them?
Oh.
Don't.
No, not don't.
I heard that, Carlos.
Listen, there are so many different people out there doing podcasts and saying whatever they want, and not all of it's good. So I say, if you have an idea and you like to, you know, express it through a podcast, I say go for it. And you'll never know, like, who's going to stick around and listen. I was very surprised to see how many people were very, like, were actually excited about it. More people than I imagined. I thought just my mom and my boyfriend were going to listen. But you never know when you put yourself out there. And I really encourage you to go for it, and you'll surprise yourself and grow. So go for it. Oh, yes. And also find your helpers, like people who you might admire. You say, oh, I love their podcast, Modern Romantic. And I would love to do something like that because they're so cool. And so, yeah, reach out. Don't be afraid to say, hey, how do you do this? How do you look so good on camera and talk to people and just look like the ultimate professionals? Go ahead and ask, and they'll tell you a little secret.
I know. I'm like,
oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, find your party. Go recruit. Yes.
Flattery will get you invited back.
Yeah.
That's right. Find your tank and your DPS and your healer.
Yes. Get a party. Let them help you. And yeah, do your best. Do your best.
That's great, advice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Never split up the party.
I don't always follow that rule.
Yeah, never split up the party. Never. My last question for you is, I want to make sure that our listening audience can go follow you and make sure that those who want to partake of Black Friday can also see the incredible individuals who are out there. Where can our listening audience stay in touch with you?
Oh, yeah. Definitely follow on Instagram and Facebook, Black Friday Official. That's where I post the most things. You can check out our website, www.blackfeyday.com. It is down for maintenance right now because I'm updating and putting all this information up for the Black Friday holiday and family reunion activities.
Yes.
So please be a little patient with me as I get that finished, but please check periodically because it'll be back up soon. And once it's up, you can sign up for our newsletter. So I can send you updates through email as well. So, yeah, those are the best places to find information about Black Fate Day.
Which is May 11th.
Yeah, this year it's May 11th. Mm-hmm. It's coming up so soon. Lots to do. Lots of horns to polish, flowers to pick for crowns, wings to stretch. Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to it. Well, Jasmine, Carlos, it is always such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. You both are so infectious. I love having you on. I'm sorry, Emily, I am speaking for you too, because I know you love having them on as well.
I won't be arguing with this.
BFD also stands for something else, not just Black Fate Day. That's us.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you can't say that. Oh, no.
I can't say that.
In the chat, the Truth Found said, "This has been a wonderful time. What a beautiful power couple."
Thank you.
Yes.
So sweet. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, not at all.
I didn't.
This is me being awkward. As we close out this episode, this episode, along with probably every other episode here and forever, will be dedicated to Joe Capone, our moderator, fellow comedian, passionate encourager, and greatly missed friend. You can find us wherever you tune into podcasts. You can also find Fabies and Friends wherever you tune into podcasts as well. For updates, announcements, and more, follow us on social media under Modern Romantic. Thank you, everybody. And I completely blanked on something. Have a great day. Bye. We love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.